Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Father, we are grateful to you for this morning. From the depths of our hearts, we lift up our thanksgiving unto you. Thank you for all the wonderful things that you do for us. And even thank you for the blessings and the breakthroughs we are yet to experience. We cast our minds back to the beginning of the year, and we are amazed at how far you have brought us. We cannot even believe that the year is about to end. But all we can testify and say is that you've been good to us. You've been mighty, mighty good to us. In so many ways, you have come through for us. When there was no one else to help, and when help wasn't coming from anywhere else, you, God, was there for us every single moment. And even when we were confused and bewildered, we looked around and it was like you were not there. We realized that all the time you were actually carrying us. We are grateful to you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. This morning we exalt you and bless your name. And we declare our commitment to you that you will always be our God. We will not turn to anybody else. We will not look anywhere else but to you alone. Forever our eyes will be lifted up onto the hills from whence our help comes. Our help comes from the Lord. We bless you over and over again in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. All right. Is it okay to worship God a little more? Is it okay with you? All right. This morning, I want you to join me to tell the Lord that here is my worship. All right? And receive it. Here is my worship. Receive it. Now, it's a song that you're familiar with. The only thing is that we don't do the first part. So today, I want to introduce the first part, and then we'll continue and flow with it. Is it okay with you? All right. That's fine. Thank you, Jesus. So the first part goes like this. You, Lord, you are worthy. And no one can worship you for me. You've done for me, and no one can worship you for me. Pretty simple. Can we try it together? You, Lord, you are worthy, and no one can worship. Worship you for me, for all the things you've done, for all the things you've done for me. Oh, and no one can worship you. Worship you for me.
my worship, all of my worship, receive my worship, all of my worship.
Tell the Lord, here's
my worship. See my words.
exalt him, exalt the Lord, bless his name. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. Thank you. Thank you very much. Please turn your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Amen. Then jump to verse 6 of Hebrews 11. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. And this morning, I'm sharing a simple message with you. The title is Giving Thanks in Faith. Giving Thanks in Faith. You must be aware that today is the first of our Thanksgiving Sundays. And we are setting two Sundays aside to say thank you to God. Does anybody have a problem with that? The fact of the matter is that all year long, you've just been asking for things. Give me. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. Lord, I want this. It should be by fire, by thunder. All right? I want it by fire, by thunder, by fire, by thunder. You've always been asking for things. Now, at least for two Sundays of the year, can we agree not to ask Him for anything? Can we just say thank you to Him? Is it okay to do that? All right. So I'm sharing with you on giving thanks by faith. Have you noticed that every time we gather to pray, whether virtually or in person, we always start with a segment on thanksgiving? Has anybody noticed that? And it has been without fail. I mean, ever since the inception of this church, it has been our practice. Always. Now, why do you think we do that? Why? What did you say? Because scripture admonishes us to do so. All right? Pardon? Because God deserves it. He deserves our thanksgiving. And you remember what the Bible says, we should enter His gates with thanksgiving and step into His courts with praise. What it simply means is that we can only assess the presence of God when we come with thanksgiving. So without fail, it's a practice we have engaged ourselves in anytime we come before God. Now, let me follow this up with another question. What do you do when the one leading the prayers asks you to thank God for something that you don't yet have? You understand my question? So Pastor James comes with his usual anointed self. He says, let's thank God for our husbands. You don't have. Let's thank God for our wives. You don't have. Let's thank God for our children. You don't have. Let's thank God for our jobs. You are jobless. Let's thank God for good health. Your body still hurts. So I'm asking you, what do you do when things are listed for us to thank God for, and you know deep inside you that you don't have those things? What do you do? Say that again. You still thank him, but he hasn't done what you asked him for. He will do it. He will do. You believe it. Wonderful. Anytime you do that, what you are actually doing is giving thanks in faith. That's what it is. Because he hasn't yet done it, or you haven't yet seen a physical manifestation of what you are asking for. But if in spite of that you lift up your voice to thank God, and you do it with a good attitude, what it actually means is that you are giving thanks to him in faith. Yesterday I had an interesting call from one of our church members. She was very excited. Said, you know, I should thank God with her. What has God done? She says that there is somebody God has brought into her life as a destiny helper. It's quite clear to her. And he just called her out of the blue that, is there any business that you want to start? God has laid it on my heart to give you money to start that business. Would you like to receive a call like that? In the coming days and in the coming years, may you receive such nice calls. And may you be the one calling people to tell them that. You like receiving too much. Now get to a place where you are the one making somebody's life better. Say, I hear you. And she was very excited over the phone, full of thanksgiving and everything. And then I asked her a question. Have you received the money? Nasikanewehe. She said no. But he says in about 3 hours' time, he's driving somewhere, so I can meet up with him wherever I want, and he will just hand the money over to you. Now, a flag was raised in my mind. You too, and you in particular, I know that the flag will be raised. Of course, I started interrogating the issue, because you see, there are a lot of bad things that happen. Is that not so? But the more I interrogated the issue, the more I became convinced that this person was actually a destiny helper. And I think you should know that I'm quite skillful at these things. I knew. And I want to say to you that even though there are a lot of bad people, there are also good people. Look, I think that there are some people who are angels whom God sends into our lives at specific times. So don't get to the place where you only have bad thoughts about anything good that may be coming. You know, people have done that and they have missed out on a divine visitation. In a certain sense, I can't blame you. But in another sense, you must also understand that it cannot be that it is all a bad story. There are good stories also. And there are still good people around. And may you be a good person to somebody. But you see, what struck me was that she was full of thanks even before she got it. Perhaps I was the one who had the doubts. So then I told her that after you receive it, call me and let me know that it has actually happened. And later in the evening, I got the call. Said, Pastor, he's kept his promise. And I want to bring it to church. Pray over it for me before I start my business. I think you can give a clap unto the Lord. But you see, what she exhibited is what I'm preaching about. Giving thanks in faith. See, my friends, thanksgiving is easy when your prayers have been answered, when you have what you're looking for, when God has come through for you. It is easy to say thanks. You got a job, easy to say thanks. You've got money in your account, it's easy to say thanks. You're enjoying good health, it is easy to say thanks. A major door has been opened to you, it is easy to say thanks. But it is not so easy when what you are asking God for, you haven't yet received it. And when you are giving thanks in faith, what you are operating in is a higher level of thanksgiving. Higher. A much lower level of thanksgiving is when you've seen certain things and you are thanking God for them. But there is a superior level of thanksgiving where, even though you have not yet seen it, you are thankful to God for it. And that is what giving thanks in faith is all about. And you are doing it not because you've seen what you asked him for, but you are doing so because you believe in him. You believe in him. Usually with us, we give thanks after the breakthrough. But giving thanks in faith is giving thanks before the breakthrough. And this is a powerful secret that many of us are not aware of. That it is actually a key to receiving what you are believing God for. If you can get to the place where you give him thanks in faith, that before the breakthrough, before the miracle, before the blessing, you give thanks to him. If you can operate more in that, you'll be seeing more blessings in your life than you have yet encountered. There are six things I want you to understand about giving thanks in faith. Six. I'm going to run through them very quickly. The first one, so six things you must understand about giving thanks in faith. The first one is that it is the will of God that we should give thanks no matter what. That's the first thing you must understand about giving thanks in faith. It is the will of God that we give him thanks no matter what. And we read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, did we not? Where it says, be thankful in all circumstances. Can you say it with me? Be thankful in all circumstances. Say it again. Be thankful in all circumstances. Now, why does it say so? It explains, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you belong to Christ Jesus? All right. If your hand did not shoot up, we have a serious problem. And it's a problem that must be addressed before you leave here today. I'm going to ask one more time. How many of you know that you belong to Christ Jesus? Excellent. So, it means that this scripture is directed at you. And it says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, it didn't say that
be thankful when things are good. Is that what your Bible tells you? Neither did it say, be thankful when your prayers are answered. It didn't say that either. It said, be thankful in all circumstances. Say that again, all circumstances. And during our Thanksgiving services, what we are aiming to do is not only to thank God for what He has done, but we also want to thank Him for what He's going to do. And I want to prophesy into somebody's life this morning that God hasn't finished with you yet. I said, God hasn't finished with you yet. He is still on course to perfect everything that concerns you. There may have been a delay, but it does not equate a denial. It doesn't. He is still working things out for you. And the Spirit of God is lifting us up to a level where we thank God not just for what He has done, but for what He's going to do. Hallelujah. There's a worship song we sing. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. Very important. For all that you promised and all that you are, is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. Take that first verse again. Think through it. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. Yeah, yeah. For all that you promised, you've not seen it, and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. So that is significant. I'm not just thanking you for what you have done, but I'm going a step further to thank you for what you are going to do. That's the highest level of thanksgiving. What you are going to do. And I'm thanking you also for all that you have promised. Has God made some promises to you? Is there anybody here who is a carrier of a certain prophecy? Then I'm announcing to you that God has made promises to you, and learn to thank Him before those promises are fulfilled, because that is the highest level of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God in faith. Hallelujah. So the first thing you must understand about giving thanks in faith is that it is the will of God that we should give thanks no matter what. Number two, giving thanks in faith pleases God. Giving thanks in faith pleases God. Brother Richard, giving thanks in faith pleases God. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Aden Amosre Ricardo. Hebrews 11 1. Now, what you may be familiar with is the King James Version. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. You can't see it, but you have evidence. You carry in the inside of you certain evidence that that thing that I am hoping for, I already have them. Now, when you go to verse 6, it says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. It is impossible to please God without faith. Now, there are different things the Bible has listed that without those things, we cannot please God. One of them that is very emphatic is this one. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we can draw this inference. If faith pleases God, then giving thanks in faith must be one clear way of pleasing Him. Does that make sense? I'll say it again. If faith pleases God, then one clear way that we can also say we will be pleasing to God is by giving thanks in faith. You see, anybody can praise God when life is sweet. Very easy to do so. But then, when the challenges still prevail, when the circumstances are still not the best, when there are frustrations that you're going through, and you've had your fair share of disappointment in life, God is pleased and moved when you thank Him while waiting. When you thank Him in uncertainty, and when you thank Him in the process, it moves Him. I said it moves God. And he feels very pleased with you when you take that step. And are you aware that when an important person is pleased with you, there is very little that he will not do for you? I mean, can you imagine that you get to meet Mr. Dangote, who is the richest man in Africa, and for some reason you are pleasing to him? What do you think will happen if you approach him and say, "Mr. Dangote Cement, I need 20,000 Ghana cedis for my Nkoko Nketenkete business"? Will it be a big problem for him? How many think that it's likely he will give it to you, or probably even give you 40,000? Now, why would he do more? Because he's pleased with you. And that's what we need to get into our spirits. That when we are pleasing to God, there's very little that he will not do for us. And if giving thanks in faith pleases him, it means that it opens the door for God to do mighty things in our lives. That's the secret in there. Hallelujah. So I want us to get to that place where we give thanks in faith, understanding that it pleases God, and it does not just please Him, but it actually paves the way for Him to do things for us. Hallelujah. Number three. The third thing you must understand about giving thanks in faith is that giving thanks in faith is thanksgiving without the evidence of seeing things. Giving thanks in faith is thanksgiving without the evidence of seeing things. It's like you don't have the evidence of certain things. You haven't yet seen certain things, but you still give thanks to God. That is what giving thanks in faith is. It is thanksgiving without the evidence of seeing things. Let's look at the scripture. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19. It says, "Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty." Now, this is, if you like, a farmer's woe. He has expectations of a certain kind of harvest, but that's not what has materialized. it's a major disappointment. So it's like you have mango, you have a mango plantation, but they are not blossoming. They are not blossoming because there's a problem somewhere. You have orange plantation, but there are no fruits on the trees because there is a problem. The olive crop failed. Maybe you've planted maize and they have failed. You invested so much into the maize, but it has failed. Or you are into animal farming and the animals are not doing well. Now, that situation that I'm describing is one of the most terrible things that any farmer, whether crop or animal farmer, can go through. Very wild though. Because I've been helping out a friend with his farm, and it's been one disappointment after the other. Yet so much money has been pumped into it. Look, at one time, he pumped in so much money, more than 25,000 Ghana cedis into okra farming. And he was told that the season that he was cultivating the okra was a good season because around that time, okra is very costly on the market. So once he can do this, he will make his money back. Only for a disease to afflict the okra crops. And the agric officers had no solution to the problem. Out of the 25,000 cedis that was invested just in okra farming, the only money that came in was about 5,000. It's a very wild thing. So that's the situation that Habakkuk is describing here. But then he says something very interesting afterwards. So even though these things are there, and you can see his disappointment, his pain, his sense of loss, this is his response: yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. So I haven't yet seen what I want to see. I haven't yet handled what I want to touch. The breakthrough hasn't materialized. The miracle hasn't yet happened. But yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't have the job, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't have the visa, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't have the scholarship, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't have the admission, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't have the wife, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't have the husband, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't yet have my healing, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't yet have peace in my home, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now that is giving thanks in faith. And you do so without the evidence of things seen. And admittedly, it's not an easy thing to do. And when you do that, what you are doing is, you are not just praising God because things are good. You are praising Him because He is good. That's the essence of giving thanks in praise. You are not just praising God because everything is okay, everything is worked out well, everything you're looking for, you have it. That's not why you're praising Him. You are praising Him because He is good. You are good, you are kind, you are faithful, we praise your name. You are good, you are kind, you are faithful, we praise your name. Ah, yeah, oh, Lord, he lay. Ah,
faithful, we praise your name. You are good, you are kind, you are faithful, we praise.
So that's what we do when we give thanks in faith. We are just declaring that God is good. God is good. I haven't yet seen certain things, but God is good. It doesn't change the goodness of God. The fact that I've had disappointments, true. The fact that I've had frustrations, true. The fact that certain doors haven't opened, true. It does not change the solid fact that God is good. And the goodness of God is not compromised because you haven't seen certain things. It doesn't reduce or minimize or limit the goodness of God because certain things have not yet happened. Which is why I want us to get to a place, ladies and gentlemen, that Thanksgiving times like this should not only be for people who have visible testimonies, but there should be people who can walk up front here and say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, when they start like that, your ears have jacked. So imagine that somebody stands here and say that I am here to give thanks to God because God is good. All through the year, I've been believing Him for my business to expand. I have been fasting and praying that He will bless me with the fruit of the womb. There is an opportunity for me to travel and I needed some money for it. But I haven't received it. But I'm standing here today to declare that God is good. Who told you that Thanksgiving is only about visible testimonies? And that is the kind of mind that I want us to develop. And the amazing thing about that is that it actually paves the way for that thing that you are looking for to actually be manifested in your life. Do you understand what I'm... It's the greatest level of thanksgiving. Greatest level. So it is giving thanks to God without the evidence of seeing things. Then number four, let's end it. Giving thanks in faith is thanking God before the miracle. Giving thanks in faith is thanking God before the miracle. Let me show you this scripture in John chapter 11, reading from verse 38. And a little background to this story. This is the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, it so happened that Lazarus fell ill, and his brother and his sister sent a message to Jesus. It was an SOS. It was like, come now. Your friend whom you love is sick. So it was like saying to him, you have been healing all kinds of people. Come home. Yeah, bring the healing home. Because this is somebody you love. You've been spending time here. So come. Now when Jesus received the message, he told the disciples about it, but he did not move. All he explained was that what has happened to Lazarus is for the glory of God. That's what he said. I mean, can you imagine? Something bad has happened, and you are saying that that bad thing that has happened is for the glory of God. Like you've called your pastor to tell your pastor that I lost a pregnancy. Then the pastor says, it's for the glory of God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I'm sure you will leave that church that day. So what do you mean? It's for the glory. You have done what? Yeah, then you can even accuse the pastor of having sacrificed the baby for the church to grow. Because people do all sorts of things for church growth. He said, it is for the glory of God. Day one, he didn't go. Day two, he didn't go. Day three, he didn't go. Day four, he called the disciples, it's time to go. When he got to the town, Martha was informed that he has arrived. She rushed out to meet him with rebukes. I said, Jesus, I'm not happy with you. I'm not happy with you. I'm not happy with you. 4 days ago, we sent a message to you that you should come. Is it now that you are coming? And now that you are coming, what are you coming to do? He's dead. He's been dead for 4 days. Stinking. So what are you doing now? And so she told him that you didn't try. Anytime you visit Bethany, you come to our home. And when you are coming, you don't come alone. Has somebody visited you before and brought a squad? Maybe you've invited somebody to lunch. Oruba Ozanana. Nanana Kaswa. And it's come with a squad. So maybe she explained to Jesus that by the time you and your disciples leave the house, the food is finished in the pantry. Because remember that quite a number of the disciples of Jesus were fishermen, and fishermen have famous appetites, can really eat well. You didn't come, the guy is dead. And Jesus said to her, your brother will live again. And then, but I know you'll live again on the day of resurrection. And that's when Jesus said, me, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. He said, do you believe it? Martha said, oh, I believe. I believe. And now later on, you find out whether she believed or not. Jesus asked, where has he been laid? And when he got there, he saw what was happening and everything. The Bible says he wept. So that's where the shortest verse in the Bible is. And Jesus wept. So that's John 11:35. And Jesus wept. Okay, so those of you who struggle with memory verses and you're looking for the shortest ones, this is one that you can play around with. Then later on, if you look at verse 38, the Bible says Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, now this is the one who says she believed. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. It's like, don't come and embarrass yourself. What are you doing? You should have come when we said he was sick. Yeah. You should have come when he was alive. Now that he's dead and he's been buried for 4 days, what are you coming to do? And Jesus said, Martha, did I not tell you that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? So he said, roll the stone away. So they rolled the stone aside. Then look at what Jesus did. Look at what he did. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. Thank you for hearing me. Now, the guy was still in the grave. He was still dead, dead, dead. Now, all die be die, but some death be death. 4 days. And before the guy was raised from the dead, he's praying here and says, Father, thank you for hearing me. He didn't bind. He didn't bind. Now, do you see any binding here? There was no binding. Spirit of death, I bind you. I bind you by fire. I bind you by thunder. There was nothing like that. He said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so they'll believe you saying to me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Now, this is when the miracle took place. But before the miracle took place, there was the thanksgiving in faith. There was the thanksgiving in faith before the miracle happened. 4 days dead in the grave. 4 days. Yet Jesus lifted up a voice of thanksgiving and thanked God in faith. And soon after that, the miracle took place. So he thanked God before the manifestation, before the miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, thanksgiving in faith, it moves mountains. It moves stones. It results in miracles. And I want to prophesy into somebody's life today. Every stone that is obstructing your progress in life, as you lift up your voice in thanksgiving unto him, may that stone be rolled away. Any grave that you find yourself in, through the voice of thanksgiving, may God pull you out of that grave. Any dead situation of your life, it may be to do with your relationship, do with your marriage, do with your finances, do with your health, do with your business, whatever it is, I declare that as you lift up your voice in thanksgiving, may God cause new life to come into that situation. Because there is power in the voice of thanksgiving. Giving thanks in faith, number 5, is a declaration of trust in God. It is a declaration of trust in God. Let's finish up. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. New King James Version. It says, he did not waver, talking here about Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God. The King James says, he did not stagger. Romans 4, 20 to 22. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. But look at the next thing it says, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. But at the time he was doing this, he did not yet have the child of promise. He was 25 years old when God appeared to him and said, I'm going to bless you with a lot of descendants, which means you're going to have a child. Because if you don't have a child, how can you have descendants? 75 years. It took 25 years. He was 100 before Isaac appeared. But the Bible is saying here that he did not waver or stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He glorified God, blessed God in faith, even though what he was expecting hadn't yet materialized. Hallelujah. And when you thank God in faith, what you are actually telling him is that I trust you. That's what you're doing. You're telling him that I trust you. I trust your timing. I trust your wisdom. I trust your process. I just trust you. I don't know why it has taken so long. I don't know why. I don't know why I have waited over and over and over again, but I can't yet see anything. But I thank you. I trust you. It's taking too long, but I trust you. The frustrations are a lot. But I trust you. I have become a laughing stock. But I trust you. I've had disappointments after disappointments. But I trust you. I trust you, God, that you will come through for me. I trust you. I trust your timing. I trust your wisdom. I trust the process. Then finally, giving thanks in faith leads to emphatic victories. Giving thanks in faith leads to emphatic victories. And you find the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, what is the story there? It's a story of how three armies came together to fight against Judah. The king of Judah at the time was Jehoshaphat. And the Moabites and the Ammonites and the people of Mount Seir came up against Judah to fight them. And when Jehoshaphat heard that they were coming, he knew that a queen there, and Yenipakum, he just couldn't see how they could defeat such a formidable army. So he decided to pray. And he gathered all the people, young and old, and they waited on the Lord. As they cried out to God, God gave a prophecy through Jehaziel.
You are my hiding place. You're always filled my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong. With the strength of the Lord, I will trust in you.
So the word of the Lord came to Jehaziel, and he prophesied. And this is what the Lord told him to tell the people, that this battle is for me. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I will sort these people out for you. The next morning, the king did something that was so ridiculous. He brought the singers, the musicians, the worshippers. Look, you are going to the battlefront, and then you put the singers and the musicians who are not holding swords and spears and shields, they are holding tambourine, trumpets, harps. You put them in front of the soldiers. Now, I don't know what you think, but that sounds to me like a suicide mission. Yeah, that's what it is. And what did he put them in front to do? To praise God. To worship him. They just kept singing and declaring, he is good and his mercies endure forever. He is good and his mercies endure forever. And the Bible says a great miracle took place. The people who had gathered to fight them now started to fight each other, and they destroyed themselves completely. May God release confusion into the camp of your enemies. Every plan they have to bring you down, may it totally backfire. May your enemies be overtaken by confusion. May they forget about their intentions concerning you, and may they begin to deal with one another. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. By the time Jehoshaphat and the forces of Judah arrived, the people were dead. And I don't know why they took their gold, their valuables and everything to the battlefield. Not only did they die, but they made the people of Judah fantastically rich at the end of the day, because they ended up with more than they could carry. But notice that what preceded the victory was giving glory to God. That's what preceded the victory. Thanking God, magnifying Him, glorifying Him. That is what preceded the victory. And today, I'm just saying this to you. Maybe as we've been talking about, let's come and give thanks to God, come and give thanks to God, you are telling yourself, for what? Come and thank God for what exactly? Maybe that's what you are asking yourself. But I am drawing your attention to the highest level of thanksgiving, where you thank God in faith. Maybe you told yourself, this thing pastor is saying, bring a thanksgiving offering and everything. I don't have any thanksgiving offering. Thank God for whatever. But you can actually have a thanksgiving offering that you are presenting in faith, in anticipation of what God is going to do in your life. It is not just about what God has done. It is also very much about what He's going to do. If He hasn't done it yet, it doesn't mean that it is all over. He will perfect that which concerns you. And everything that He has said concerning you, He will bring it to pass. I'm happy to announce to you that God is still on your case, and that He's working things out for you. Rise to your feet and let's close, my friends. God bless you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, I want to pray with you. And there's a very important issue that you need to resolve today. It has to do with your relationship with Jesus. Are you saved? Are you born again? Is Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? Have you surrendered your life to Him? I do not think that the year should end without you taking this very important step. You may be watching us and you know deep inside you that you don't know Him as Lord and Savior. But I want to pray with you today. There's an opportunity to receive Jesus into your heart. All it takes is for you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and really believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and the Bible says you will be saved. And today I want to pray with you. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand? And I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Can you lift up your right hand wherever you are? And if you're watching me, wherever you are, in your home, in your bedroom, in your hall, you can lift up your hand there, because He can see you even though I don't. Now, can we pray this prayer together? Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh Lord, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours. You are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.